Financial with certified financial planner Christopher Calandra is an innovative, comprehensive, informative, and cutting-edge podcast that discusses financial topics ranging from personal finance, economics, politics, and personal growth. Simply Financial will cover intriguing and thought-provoking questions so that the listener can simply increase their financial IQ.
Welcome to episode number one of the Simply Financial podcast. I am your host, Christopher Calandra, and I appreciate you joining me for our initial episode. Today, I want to provide you with a mid-year economic update for 2017. In brief, I want to provide a few important data points, and the first one is that this year ranked as the third best start for equities. This year, we got off to a really, really strong start in the U.S. stock market. Next, the bull market turned 8 years old on March 9th. We've had 8 years of the bull market that began when we got to the market lows back in March of 2009, which turns out to be the end of the great financial crisis. The Dow Jones Industrial Average this year passed 21,000 for the first time. That occurred in March. Even since getting to 21,000 in March, the markets continue to reach new highs as of the recording of this episode in early July. And next, the Federal Reserve thus far this year has raised the federal funds rate twice. So in short, the stock market has been very strong since the presidential election back in November of 2016. In my opinion, this strong performance, including what has occurred so far this year, can be assessed with one simple word, and that word is optimism. Right, wrong, or indifferent, the economy and the stock markets have seen increased optimism since the election, and that has carried through the first half of 2017. This optimism includes increased expectations for economic growth. We have optimism that we'll have tax reform legislation. We'll talk more about that later on. There's optimism for reduced government regulations, optimism for strong corporate profits, optimism that interest rates will increase and be normalized by the Federal Reserve, and that the economy is strong enough finally to absorb these rate increases. Now, the thing about this is, for listeners who are fans of Donald Trump and people that voted for Donald Trump, they'll probably find my thesis makes a lot of sense. They'll be very accepting of my thesis. Listeners who are not fans of the president may have trouble accepting this optimism rationale. Individuals who dislike President Trump and his policies, it's a stretch for them to have any discussion about optimism. But I'm really confident on this subject that what's driven the markets since the election boils down to this optimism. Now, of course, this optimism will have to be backed up, and optimism alone cannot sustain market and economic activity for a very long time, but it can be a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because if you have an optimistic outlook and you're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, well, then you are probably emboldened to invest in R&D, to add on employees, to invest in marketing and or technology. That optimism could lead to better results, at least get the ball started. And I think that is what we've seen since the election through 2017. What I'd like you to think about it is in this way. If you picture a large pot of boiling water on the stove, and for those of you that are good in the kitchen, you could picture a cold pot of water takes a long time to boil. And I view President Obama's administration in this way. When President Obama was elected, he received a pot of boiling water on the stove, excuse me, a pot of water on the stove that was cold, ice cold, in fact. And President Obama definitely deserves credit for getting that cold pot of water in that big pot, the U.S. economy, warm again. He had consistent economic growth. He had consistent job growth. And the economy got off the floor and recovered under his administration over the course of 8 years. And he deserves credit for that. The trouble is that President Obama was only able to get that water so warm. There are many reasons for this, and we could debate whether it was his policies, Republicans being difficult. We could debate that, but that's not the purpose of this show. But my point is that he, to his credit, got the cold pot of water that he received. He got it warm, and that's what he gets credit for. Now, where he deserves criticism is that he is the first and only president ever to leave office. Now, he was in office for 8 years, is to leave office with the U.S. economy never getting plus 3% gross domestic product growth. He never oversaw a single year in 8 years where the economy did better than 3%. And that is definitely a fair criticism in my mind of President Obama. So now Donald Trump gets elected president in November 2016. He, unlike his predecessor, inherits that big pot of water, the U.S. economy. But now it's warm. It might even be close to boiling. And now, if you're a cook or you're good in a kitchen or you could picture what I'm describing, is it doesn't take much to get a warm pot of water to boil. It doesn't take much to heat it up. And I think the optimism that's emanating throughout the economy, from Wall Street to large corporate boardrooms to small business owners to the Main Street man and woman on the street, is the idea is that President Trump doesn't have a cold pot of water, has a warm pot of water, and with a little bit of good stewardship, it will not take much for that pot of water to get to a boil. And when I say a boil, I mean 3% plus GDP growth. The U.S. economy over the very long term has averaged around 3.5% economic growth or GDP growth. Since 2000, this includes both President Obama's administration as well as George W. Bush's administration, the U.S. economy has performed somewheres in the neighborhood of 1.7 or so, roughly half of the longer-term average since World War II. And the optimism that we're seeing is that the U.S. economy can begin to once again get better than 3% GDP growth. And if we can do that, that optimism, that expectation for increased economic growth will have been well placed. And Donald Trump will deserve credit for that. But again, he got a pot of water that was warm where President Obama got a cold pot of water. And that's a simple way that I look at it, and it helps me put into perspective what's going on and cuts through some of the tremendous amount of noise we see in the media and in the marketplace. And I call it the soap opera that we see if we pay attention to what's going on in Washington. I really like the boiling water, pot of water analogy. Hopefully that helps you appreciate and picture what I believe is going on in the economy and what's helping propel the markets forward. One final point on this topic is that as of May 2017, the S&P 500, which is the index that represents the largest 500 U.S. companies based on size, the S&P 500 quarterly year-over-year growth rate showed a 15% rise. So really good increase in their corporate profitability. This was the best year-over-year increase since the third quarter of 2011, according to Yahoo Finance. So this is just some evidence, an anecdotal example of what I see in many, many economic measures that we look at. So corporate profitability, corporate profits increasing is a very, very good sign for the economy. Now, of course, not all is perfect. There are lots of things to be worried about, to be careful of, and there are a number of things that we're watchful of, and I think a few of them you could easily keep tabs on as well. For example, the potential for U.S. gridlock is very problematic, and already this year you can see some of the battles being waged between the White House, the Republicans, and the Democrats. And this optimism that I spoke about needs to materialize in some way, shape, or form in legislation, in some ways to kind of help fulfill the prophecy of the optimism. And the potential for U.S. gridlock is a worrisome sign that we need to watch very closely. We live in a dangerous world. The risk of geopolitical unrest is always there, especially since 2001. So that's another place to be watchful of. Oil fluctuations. There's a lot going on in the oil markets. Oil has been down most of this year. In some ways, that's positive. If you go to the pump today, you'll find that you're spending less money for gas than you did a year ago. I don't think this gets reported in the media nearly enough. Consumers and businesses, most businesses, are benefit greatly from reduced energy prices, and we've seen that. So that's another thing to watch for, oil price fluctuations. And then the last thing I'll mention on the list of things to be watchful of is progress towards tax reform legislation. I think this is an enormously important initiative of the president and of our representatives in Congress. Is we want to watch the progress as they move towards what I expect will be tax reform legislation. I am optimistic despite some noise and some complaints and some doubters. I think that we will see tax reform within the next 12 months that is signed into law. A lot of the details are up for grabs. We'll have to see how it plays out. But I think tax reform legislation will be very good. I'm not so worried about the details as much as I am the overview that the tax reform could be simplified in some way, flattened in some way, and to make the corporate tax code more competitive so that we could give U.S. corporations a better opportunity to compete overseas, while at the same time making it fair so that corporations in the U.S. also pay their fair share. So I'm optimistic on that front, but I think it's really important that we make progress towards tax reform legislation and it's not caught up in that gridlock we spoke about a few minutes ago. What I want to talk about next is what you should do as an investor. And I think to start with, as an investor, you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared with a plan of what your financial goals and objectives are, a plan of how you are going to move towards that goal and objective or those goals and objectives. You need to be prepared in a way to monitor and track your progress towards meeting those goals and objectives. And we work very closely with our clients to assist them in being prepared. What I think also investors ought to do is focus on meeting your own personal objectives. I think because of technology and all of its blessings, there's so much information out there. There's so many opinions out there that you could get so much information that you're paralyzed, or so much information that you lose track of what's important. And I think focusing on meeting your personal objectives, whatever they are, regardless of where you are in your career, whether you're retired or just starting out, whether you're aggressive or conservative, focusing on meeting your personal objectives is a very, very key thing that you ought to do as an investor. In meeting your personal objectives, I think a few things are worth mentioning is that an index like the S&P 500, like the Dow Jones, isn't necessarily a measure of your portfolio. It's what your portfolio is doing, not what the market is doing, that's important. And this, again, not to beat a dead horse, is very important relative to your own goals and objectives. Your portfolio will not always move in lockstep or in sync with any single market or index, especially because most clients, especially ours, are diversified, so that looking at just the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is a metric, an index that tracks just 30 companies, is not necessarily representative of what your portfolio is or should be doing, and may not be consistent with what your goals and objectives are. Your portfolio is different than everyone else's, and it should be, because your portfolio, your plan, your savings goals are based on your personal goals, your risk tolerance, and your time horizon. So it should be a personalized plan, and that'll allow you to focus less on what some of the information that you read or hear about that may or may not apply to you either at all or not too much. So what you ought to do as an investor is reevaluate your investing goals and objectives. I think 2017, with all the change going on in Washington, change going on with interest rates increasing, change going on with us being 8 years, which is a long time, into the bull market, is I think this is an ideal time to reevaluate your goals and objectives. Make sure you're comfortable with your investment strategy. Are you taking the right amount of risk? Are you taking the right amount of income? Are you adding the right amount of money to your investment portfolio? Are you working with an advisor that you feel comfortable with and believe you have a good trust bond with? Confirm your investment timelines. With investments, it's important to know what your time horizon is, when you expect you'll need the money, either the principal or need the money in terms of generating consistent, reliable, recurring income. So this is a good time to confirm your investment timelines. I mentioned risk before. This, again, is a great time to reevaluate your risk tolerance. And if necessary, rebalance your portfolio accordingly. You can change your portfolio around. Oftentimes, you don't need to rip it apart and start from scratch, but you could rebalance, make changes to the portfolio to get the portfolio better aligned with your risk tolerance based on where you are today, not where it was 5, 10, 15, or 20 years ago. What I'd like to talk about now is how we are here to help. Our focus at Elliott Wealth Management Services, my focus, the team's focus, is on you, our clients. Our goal is to monitor your situation. And what you can expect from us is constant communication. We have a regular schedule of client meetings for our clients that's worked out in concert with the clients. Some clients want to meet more regularly than others, but we want to have a regularly scheduled of client meetings. These meetings allow the client to share with us what their thoughts are, what their worries are, what their goals and objectives are. They can inform us about changes in their life. They have retired, a change in marital situation, a new child, sale of a property, sale of a business, the need to begin taking income. That gives them a chance to share with us what's going on with them and what might have changed or what might have improved since we had last checked in with them. These regular schedule meetings also give us a chance to share with clients what our views are in terms of their plan, their goals and objectives, update them on our thoughts on portfolio construction, generating income, our views on risk, and that regularly schedule of client meetings, I think, leads to better investment success. I think it leads to better client satisfaction. I think it is better satisfaction for me and my team because we're able to serve the client better because we have more information about what they want and need and are concerned about. So what you can expect from us, again, is constant communication, a regular schedule of client meetings. We are constantly reviewing economic updates. We're looking at tax updates, estate and investment issues. We're looking at these things so that we can serve our clients better. And we also are very tied into the notion that we need to avoid knee-jerk reactions. I mentioned so much information out there. We could fall prey to that also. We get so many reports. We talk to so many people. I read a tremendous amount of literature. Some of it is bullish. Some of it's bearish. Some of it's political. Some of it's economic. Some of it's behavioral. But we need to avoid knee-jerk reactions. We want to help our clients stay on task so that they have as good a chance as possible for them to achieve their financial goals, and they're expecting us to help them get there, and we're going to try really, really hard to make that happen. We're going to help our clients make decisions. We're going to keep our clients' best interest in mind, and we are always available if clients have questions, have concerns, need something. We are there for them, and we really try very hard to be super responsive when we receive a phone call, an email, and or someone stops into the office. So if you want more information about us and our services, about the team, the website is www.elliott2t'swealth.com, www.elliottwealth.com. The number at the office toll-free is 888-959-5904. And for listeners, I would be honored if you shared this podcast with friends and family. We would like to communicate and touch more clients as we would like to grow our business here at Elliott Wealth Management Services. And also, let us know if there's anyone you would like to add to our mailing list so that they could benefit from the information that we produce, including future episodes of this podcast, including our monthly mailing. We do a tax update each year. We do a mid-year economic review mailing. So if you have friends or family that you'd like to add to our mailing list, you can call or email us, provide us that information. We will send that information to them up until the time they say they do not want it. So with that, thank you very much for listening in. I look forward to doing episode number 2 very soon. Thank you.
The views expressed are not necessarily the opinion of Sagepoint Financial Incorporated and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities mentioned herein. Investing is subject to risk, including loss of principal. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against the loss. Please note that individual situations can vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and advisory services are offered through Sagepoint Financial Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance services offered through Elliott Wealth Management, LLC, are not affiliated with Sagepoint Financial.